Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, Is There a Credible Answering Apologetic for the 21st Century Church? It is important to note that in the New Testament, the word church is ekklesia, term church is ekklesia, and it is a term that refers, or that means, the called out one. The term ecclesia has nothing to do, as you well know, with a physical building. The believing community make up or comprise the church. Church is an organic being. The church is a living being. Paul's letter to Ephesians has to do with the church as the soma, or the body of Christ. He uses the preposition in Christ in his letters over 148 times in Christ, or in Christus. And so it is a marvelous prepositional phrase, one that we all should know. Again, in is a preposition which speaks of, is also a locative. And so it is also a preposition of rest. So it is a very poignant and very pregnant prepositional phrase. So all the believing community are in Christ. Locative of speech. We are in Christ. And so Paul lays out in his letter to Ephesians this wonderful revelation as to who we are and whose we are. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul speaks of Christ as the kephale, that is, the head of the soma church. It is from he and he alone, that is, from Christ alone, when we receive our spiritual nourishment. And it is that focus to which we must return. We must once again see the importance of our relationship with Him. And we must become aware of the idolatry that are within the church. It is imperative that we understand that the Old Testament does speak of the world. The Old Testament has a lot to say about the history of the world, particularly in the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, we were given information with regard to the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what we call the tribulation period, or literally the great squeezing. The great squeezing is the ellipsis, which means narrowness of room. That is to occur at the end of this age. But the writing prophets, the great writing prophets of the 8th century, in the Old Testament, the 8th century BC, were focused on the people of God. And what was going on with them? Their heavens and the internal happenings within the community. They were, that is, Northern Kingdom of Israel and later the Southern Kingdom of Judah was swept away for a particular reason. In 722 BC, the Northern Kingdom, Israel, was swept away by the Assyrians. About 150 years later or so, the Southern Kingdom, the Kingdom of Judah, which was comprised of Judah and Benjamin, were swept away by Nebuchadnezzar until 587. But there was a common reason that these two kingdoms went into captivity. Well, that is, the Northern Kingdom was swept away completely. And you can read the tale about what happened to them. The Old Testament is church, not church history, but in the Old Testament history. But the focus of the great 8th century prophets was upon the people of God and what they were doing, which was not in conformity to the known law of God. They were engrossed in idolatry, which had no been spiritual. And the writer to the book of Hebrews, the New Testament, deals with this situation. He talks about, in the book of Hebrews, the writer talks about those whose carcasses have fallen on the road. That is, these believers had undergone divine discipline in the wilderness because of their failure to believe God. And in the Old Testament, failure to believe God was to utter a slander, meant to utter a slander against the divine character. And so, by their unbelief, they slandered the character of God. So this is a very serious and heinous sin, to slander God. And so they suffer the consequences of their negative actions. And so we read that Joshua and Caleb fully filled in after the Lord. So understand that the people of God, the Southern Kingdom, went into captivity for 70 years. When they emerged, for the most part, their devotion to idolatry broke. It was the most severe operation, but one that had to be done in order to cut out the cancer of idolatry. And I listened very carefully to the way the Old Testament is taught, and I listened very carefully to the way the New Testament is taught. And there seems to be this emphasis on looking out at the cosmos, looking out at the cosmos and serving up religious critiques of the behavior of those in the cosmos. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes that we were trespassed. And his letter to Titus, he says that we were sometimes or at one time, we did the same thing. As individuals are currently doing the world. So Paul never enjoined a person. And it's interesting that what is foremost is our our religious perception of what is offensive or more offensive to our subjective values. Now, I note in Revelation chapter 1 that our great high priest, Jesus, walks among the seven golden candles. And there are seven letters that were written to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which is now modern Turkey. And I note that Jesus doesn't say that he walked among the world, but his perception and his words have to do with what is going on in the ecclesia. Now, it is interesting also to note that, that we are told that judgment must begin, or judgment will begin at the house of God. In Ezekiel, the judgment began at temple, at the house of God. And so, notice the focus of the Old Testament, and notice the focus of the New Testament. The focus is on the people of God. There was the classic Babylonian captivity of the people of God, the Old Testament, and in the New Testament. And in New Testament history nowadays, you see the Babylonian captivity of church is enamored with itself. And it appears it is not holding fast to the Kephale, to Christ, the head of the church. Now, it is evident that, of course, there will be individuals who will be in denial as such. This was on. But I note in Revelation the glorified Jesus, who is in his high priestly garb and who comes down to them, his eyes are as a flame of fire. His voice was as the sound of many waters. Nothing escapes his attention that is glorified as Christ, our great high priest. Nothing evades or escapes his perception. Nothing. He consistently said to those churches, I know thy works. Greek word there for know is oida, which means has an absolute knowledge, not gnosko. Gnosko means the knowledge gained through experience. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge that is gnosko, experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ. God does not grow in awareness or in perception of us. He already knows us. He loves us. He is the potter. Amen? And we are like we belong to him. He purchased us. He says redeemed. We were not redeemed with corrupt things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. Is there a credible answering apologetic for the 21st Century Church? Yes. It is the understanding that church itself is the intricate perception. We must come to understand what is going on in the church. Now, Paul writes that the man of sin will not be revealed until the falling away has come, falling away of the church. And now, in these, such as we have it, is what is being called new today. The media sound bites or in the pseudo writings in the media today. We are given told that the church is dropping off and it's ship. I don't know what he can do. But Paul writes that this falling away does not mean that individuals who formally walk away from the visible church, they will not formally walk away from membership in the visible church yet, plural. But the falling away will occur with falling away will occur from the heart. Very fascinating. James writes, be doers of the word and not hearers of the word. Writer to the Hebrews notes that in the Old Testament, these individuals who had a first person witness of divine religion, that is godlessness in the form of the Shekinah glory. The word that they heard was not so it did not profit them. What the writers to the New Testament writers tell us is that that is what is most prominent in their theology. Not so much the theology that we may hear in a local church, but what is prominent in the theology of John, Peter, Paul, is conformity to the image of Christ and the doctrine of suffering with Christ. Agon, A-G-O-N, or agonia, from which we get our word agony, and it is transliterated as to sky or strike. So, the apologetic, the New Testament, has nothing to do with Christ, has nothing to do with the books. It seems that the literature that's produced, looks at our feet, has not changed the divorce rate of the church. It has not changed the morals of individuals in the church. There is a great deal of church pornography, both among men and women. So there's a great deal of problems with sarks or the flesh. And Paul talks about how to overcome the teaching of what we must do as the real ones to overcome the flesh. We must crucify flesh. Or like I am crucified with Christ. Everything goes back to Christ, to the cross. Our focus is upon the cross. It is there by faith. Amen. We say we receive for I receive my sight. One of the great portions of the book of Judges has to do with the Samson cycle. And the Samson cycle story, we read about one of the great champions, Samson truth was. But the Hebrew word that is prominently used by the writer in the Samson cycle story is Raya, Raya. And Raya has to do with what one sees or his perception, the optic, optical cortex. And we read that Samson was an individual who was guided by sight, that was saw, and flesh got him into an incredible amount of trouble. We are told to walk or to order our steps by just for faith and not by Raya, Hebrew, sight. The apologetic that we are enjoined to follow in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is Christ. He is. He is the one whom we are to follow. Period. Whosoever will follow me must take up his cross, once the word, take up his cross daily. And the Greek, the word take up, take up, and not put down. It is to assume the role of the condemned one, of the condemned person, take up the cross. He is a good shepherd. The good shepherd takes up the cross. He takes up the cross on our behalf, not of his own behalf. The good shepherd takes up the cross, and as the sheep, we follow him. We take up. Paul writes in Romans 8, the Bible says, we are killed all the day long. The doctrine of the suffering with Christ is prominent in the mind of Paul. It is prominent in the mind of Peter. It is prominent in the mind of John. John saw the passion. He witnessed the passion. Peter was part of the passion narrative or event. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw the wounds of Christ. He saw the infinite purity. He saw the glorious life. When John said in the book of Revelation, whereas a lamb who had been slain, John saw him. Peter saw him in his post-resurrection ministry to his own. Feed my sheep. Peter was enjoined to feed the sheep, to pastor, to shepherd, to lead, to guide the sheep. Is there a credible answer and apologetic for the 21st century church? Yes, it is to return to Jesus, return to the good shepherd, one who is qualitatively good. shepherd means protector. We return to him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We return to the one who gave all for us. And we stop listening to the voices in the world that want to shatter, that want to fragment. It is time for the Babylonian captivity of the church to go. It is time for a new exodus of them. Amen? And understand that our citizenship is in heaven, in whom we await the coming of the Spirit, the Prototheia of Jesus. He is the living life. In you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We look at our lives through the word God, not in a condemning manner. But we say to ourselves as we think about the living Christ and what he has done for us, what he has given us. We look at our lives, we evaluate our lives. Remember what the disciples said in that upper room. Jesus said, one of you, and collectively, we went around that table to reverberate words there. Is it viable? Is it viable? Is it viable? The thunderous apologetic doesn't have to do so much as the ears of the word, not hearers, auditors only, deceiving themselves. It is not so much what is said as it is what is done, our deed. We are to be doers of the word. We are to live the word. Please read Psalm 119. Psalmist there says, until I was afflicted, I went astray. God afflicts us for our own good, that we might look to the rock that is higher than I, that we might look to Jesus. He must become our compelling focus. He must become the one to whom we look for all. It is time that we return to the rock from which we were hewn. That is Jesus. And until we do that, until we stop the religious thought, until we stop the Dorian great act of behavior. Please read that book, Picture of Dorian. Please read that book. When I teach about flesh, I always use that book because it's a portrait of a man who does not change in the teaching. Looks wonderful. You can inspire something else. There is a credible anti-apologetic of the 21st century church, and that is the living. My name is Dr.